It's Mary
and Jenny,
and we came into our identities in our 30s.
This is Queerly,
where we do life in community.
Hey y'all, in part one of episode 6, we bring intersectionality to the table as queer women of color and discuss how it enables us to navigate the world.
Navigating the world as a minority sort of enables you to want to fight for the others because you're used to your voice not being heard.
Yeah.
So I think intersectionality is really about understanding the injustices that different minority groups may face in the way that they navigate the world. And so...
And you can't talk about one without
talking about the other. Exactly.
Intersect. They are just like the term,
right? Exactly. So, like, especially now for us that want to build queer communities, it is so important that we understand all these different intersectionalities that come together.
Now, enjoy part two, where Mary dives deeper into her story and talks about the difficulties she faces when reconciling her faith with her sexuality.
I know a lot of folks in the community who face hardship because of the intersectionality of their identity and their faith. It's really hard for them to reconcile with.
Yes.
So, and I know you had touched on that in your story a little bit,
right?
But can you maybe talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So, for those of you, I know I've said this before, but I just want to say it again for maybe people that haven't had a chance to listen to us before. I was raised in a very religious community. Like, religion is a big deal. God is a big deal. And somewhere along the way, I really started to identify as a Christian and a practicing Christian at that. And I loved my work as a Christian. And I played the guitar in various... worship teams in different churches, both in Uganda and in the US. And I enjoyed that time of my life. But also, I think for me, the hardest in when it comes to that intersectionality of my sexual orientation and my religious belief and spirituality, that I think was the hardest point to navigate. And that point brought me such turmoil and torment and depression. And I think that was because of the internalized homophobia that we're socialized into, especially in church communities. Constantly hearing that you're evil, or like gay people. Because I never ever told anyone that they were evil. Mm-hmm. But, you know, constantly hearing that people who are gay are evil, they're gonna go to hell, they're gonna burn, you know, hearing all those kinds of things. And I think also contributed to the fact that it took me 10 years to actually come into myself and say, hey guys, I love women. But it hasn't been all fun and games. I think it was a lot of crying. I cried every night. I cried myself to sleep. I prayed every night, asking God to make me straight the next day. But every time I said this prayer, I knew that there were very many other prayers over the 10 years about being straight that hadn't been answered, whether those were subconscious prayers or prayers that I uttered out aloud. And so that is a very hard internalized homophobia, Christian faith or religious faith, and sexual orientation are very, very hard to reconcile. But luckily, in my journey, because I asked my therapist, I remember asking my therapist, how do I get better? How do I navigate this? Because I was so depressed. I wasn't sleeping. A lot of different trauma was triggered off in my life, like trauma from my mom's death, but the trauma of living in the US as well, because people don't understand, but like just navigating racism leaves you with trauma. However, you know, because I could never put racism on a scale, because I could say it's a microaggression, yeah, but the impact it has on someone might be as great as trauma that they have to walk through in the therapist's room.
Yeah.
And a lot of these microaggressions, because
or how
the impact
Ibram Kendi says these microaggressions are really racist abuse.
Yeah, and it piles up, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I was my homophobia stressed me out so much that it triggered off all this unhealed trauma.
Yeah.
And so then it became something I couldn't control. And so in the therapist's room, I asked the therapist, what can I do to get better? So my therapist did say there's something good about me. Is one of the things about me is I do want to get better, and I'm asking for a list on what I can do to get better. That's my Virgo moon.
Yeah.
But she told me healing is not linear, and it's not gonna look like a list that you've put down. But she did share things with me. One of the things was to plug myself into communities of people that look like me.
Yeah.
So I had to find a Black queer women's group. Not easy. We were in the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
So that took me a long time to find. But then also, she encouraged me to get in touch with the LGBTQIA Center, the LA. So I did. And so I was attending some of their virtual communities just to be with other people. But they were white.
Mm.
I mean, like once in a month, maybe a Black person would come, and then they wouldn't come back for the next meeting. So navigating that was also difficult. And I remember in one of the queer spaces that I attended, there were like all the women in there were white, and all of them were married, and all of them were struggling with the process of coming out to their partners, that they actually get attracted to women. But anyway, let me fast forward quickly because I know we have a limited time. So at the having that list, I landed on a TikTok. By for those of you that do not know, go onto Instagram or go onto TikTok and look for someone called I Am Kim Daily. I watched her videos. She's married, so that was one thing that stood out to me. She's Black, that's another thing that stood out to me, and she's Christian. And so I was like very fascinated, and I saw that she'd reconciled her faith with her sexual orientation, and I reached out to her because I was a mess. You remember, I was a mess. So I reached out to her. She has a group for queer Black women called For the Culture, where the whole process is to talk about our sexuality, but also we reconcile our faith as we walk together and share our lives together. And so I joined that group, and it's been amazing to unlearn a lot of these things that are taught in Christianity that are actually not even godly. Doing that work with a group of other Black women was actually the thing that helped me break through that hurdle of being able to reconcile my Christian faith and my sexuality. But that's just now. I've not reconciled that with my family back home. So I don't know. I don't know how they're going to react to that. But I hope I answered the question. Yeah. Did I answer the question?
No, you didn't.
Oh, great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like I feel like as we are discussing being a QPOC, we know that even under the umbrella of POC, there's different identities under POC, and even under the umbrella of Q, there's different identities under queer. And so I feel like us having this conversation is a great, and since we desire to build communities and especially bring people together that might need community around them, it's very, very important for us to understand intersectionality. And I did some research on what I can do with my knowledge of intersectionality. And there's some things that came up that I think I should share with you. So one of the things that I think is very precious is being able to hold yourself and others accountable, especially in these spaces where we have different identities.
Yeah.
Like if someone's making a mistake, let's say with someone's pronouns, I mean, that's like, you know, one of the things. I think holding yourself accountable and holding other people accountable Understanding that everyone deserves to be heard. So being mindful of who's getting more talking space than another person. I think us understanding this helps us to build more wholesome communities, but also more inclusive experiences for everyone.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I also stood out to me is being collaborative and listening to others.
Yeah.
Yeah. So intersectionality is very complex.
Yeah.
But I think it gives room.
We're only even touching like the surface level of intersectionality. We could talk about this for hours and hours and get really deep, you know? But I'm glad that I got to hear a lot from you today and learn a lot. I know those are some of the things that you had mentioned that you want to note, but do you have a Queerly Noted that you want to share?
Yeah, I definitely have a Queerly Noted, you know, from, you know, listening to myself speak and listening to you speak about your journey of unlearning over the past couple of years. And I know you're very passionate about social justice and you belong to these different communities. The thing that has stood out to me is all voices deserve to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
And regardless of whether a voice seems like a minority to you, it deserves to be included and all voices deserve to be heard. And I think in our different walks of life, some of us have more power than others.
Yeah.
Some of us have more privilege than others. And so I feel like the onus is on us, especially who seem to have more power or more privilege, to make sure that the voices of others are heard. And this can only come if you take time to learn about intersectionality. So that's my Queerly Noted for today.
Once again, with a fire Queerly Noted.
Yeah, I know Jenny has one for us too. So Jenny, I'd love for us to hear about your Queerly Noted.
I think coming into this episode, I really wanted to hear Mary and hold the space for Mary, because this is where we all learn and are proactive about how we are navigating, you know, this world. For this episode, I think I was just thinking about how important it is for just us to be doing this podcast together. It's really rare to see like Black and Asian dynamics. And I think that is something that, and for us as like women of color, queer women of color, to be talking about these topics, I think there should be more representation of that. We're here to talk about our journeys, our identities, because there aren't enough out there. And so we are here to take up space so that we can share and be more inclusive.
I like that. We are here to take up space. That's real talk right there. But I know I'm taking part of Jenny's space and I'm sorry about that.
No,
but I need
take
to
it all.
I need to interject. Starting this podcast, just like she said, was a way for us to bring our queer voices of color to this platform that exists in the world. And I like the fact that one of her Queerly Noted is us taking up space.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead, Jenny.
That was just so dynamite.
That's so cool.
That was it.
Yeah.
Well,
thank
great
you.
Great episode.
Yeah.
It was so powerful, Mary. Thank you so much for always sharing. I can listen to you talk for hours and hours.
Oh.
And this can keep going, but I really enjoyed today's episode and like really, really feel grateful for being like in this space with you so that I can learn and listen. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Jenny, for holding space. It's not easy to be vulnerable, but thank you so much for holding space, and thank you everyone out there for spending this time with us.
Yeah.
Until next time.
Love you.
If you want to support Queerly, follow, rate, and leave a review on the podcast platform of your choice.
We would love to hear from you, so please reach out to us at hi.queerly@gmail.com or follow us on Instagram @queerlycommunity. That's Q-U-E-E-R-L-Y-Q-M-U-N-I-T-Y.
Love y'all!